Today I'd like to speak about perseverance. Why? Because I want you to be able to persevere through any situation. You are a Christian, and your lifestyle is supposed to be the super Christian conqueror lifestyle. But you can't have that lifestyle if you give up, if you stop, if things come in your path that cause you to tumble, that cause you to falter in your steps. You must be able to persevere in order to manifest the super Christian conqueror lifestyle. I expect you to be a super Christian conqueror. If I have those expectations, I must ensure that you are enabled. And one of the greatest enablers of the super Christian conqueror lifestyle is perseverance. And so God's Word has some really wonderful things to say about that. Turn to Mark chapter 3. Often this idea of perseverance eludes us. When you're in the midst of some sort of mental pressure, some trial of your patience, so to speak, I don't like to use the word trial or testing, because that doesn't show up in Christian doctrine and theology. That's Old Testament. Oh, those Old Testament believers were tested a lot. Old Testament, tested, okay. But New Testament, we were not tested. We're not tested. It's just not in there. And so when I say, when you're in the midst of some trial of patience, understand that God's not testing you. But you are going through a trial. It's just tough. The last thing you think you'd respond to is somebody saying, come on, persevere. Come on. You can do it. Persevere. Who wants to hear that? Especially if you're miserable. You know, you'd probably rather have somebody hold your hand and lead you a little bit so you can just get out of that muck and mire. Well, there's actually a lot to be said about this subject of perseverance, and it should not be taken in lightly, especially when you're in the midst of some sort of personal conflict. So in Mark chapter 3, we see the first information about what does perseverance from a biblical perspective mean. Verse 9, and he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. And wait on is what perseverance comes from. Waiting on something conveys the meaning of perseverance. So if you understand what it means to wait on something, then you already are well on your way to understanding the biblical meaning of perseverance. Today's meaning conveys some form of waiting too. Along with the idea of getting through some problem or situation. So waiting on something and getting through, well, they're kind of different. But both of them sum up to that meaning of perseverance. And if you're going to get through a problem or situation, in a sense you are waiting, you're just waiting for the end result. You're just waiting for your deliverance. So they work together. The Bible's meaning sticks mainly with the idea of waiting on something. Acts chapter 1. Now these are verses that I bet you even have memorized. So it's going to be real easy to understand this. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, these all continued, there you go, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. continued with. Continued. Yeah, that's getting through a situation. Yeah, that's waiting. It's kind of neat. And what'd they do? Oh, pray. Supplication. I hope you didn't ignore that. So we see that it conveys a meaning of continuing with a certain act during the situation. What was the act? Biblically, it was prayer. That's what they were doing. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, there you go, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and, we got it in, prayer. Oh my goodness. Are we noticing that prayer has a lot to do with perseverance? I think so. How many of you pray when you're in a trial of patience? When you're not feeling so well because the situation is pretty tough? How many of you pray? Now, prayer is simple, and it almost seems simple-minded, but I caution you, it's not. Prayer is vital, and if you really want to get through your situation, if you really want to persevere in that situation, you should pray. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, so we saw continuing, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The believers in Acts steadfastly continued with God's word and fellowship and with eating and praying together. Perseverance and prayer are ever so tightly coupled. You can't get away from that. So if you're thinking, yeah, Jerry, I get what you're saying. I do want to live the life of a super Christian conqueror, but it's tough. I mean, it's nice to come to fellowship. It feels great. But when I'm on my own and staring at my own four walls or dealing with those people in my life, it's not that easy. So I'd appreciate it if you don't make it sound quite so simple. Well, I've got something to say to that. I got to tell you that it is simple, but you've got to make it simple yourself. You've got to let this simplicity become part of your style, of your walk, of your super Christian conqueror way of being. Then you'll be happy. Then when you're in the middle of a situation, you go, what did he say? What was it that he taught coupled tightly together? Prayer. I'm trying to get through this. That's the perseverance part. That's easy. I've got to get through this. And I know y'all are going through things, so pick your thing. In fact, why don't you take a piece of paper right here and a pen and write down at least one of the things that you're persevering today. The thing that you have just got to get through. Let's just hit the pause button and write that thing down. I want you to make this come alive. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that you went to fellowship, but you were wondering why. I want this to be living and real to you. Every one of us persevere. Maybe we don't do a good job of persevering. Maybe we do a great job. But every one of us persevere. As a super Christian conqueror, every one of us want to know how to do it better. And so let us all be bound and determined to persevere the best way possible. And so that's why I'm asking you to write one thing. Now, you could probably write a couple, and if you want to, that's okay. Huh? You need more paper? No, you guys are funny. Just give me the laptop. I'm going to type this thing out. No, just kidding. Now, I want you to look at that one thing you wrote. Just look at it. I want you to absorb that thing and identify it with maybe a one-word or two-word phrase. What is it? Like, if you're looking for a job, job. Job. If you're looking for happiness, happiness. If you're looking for financial increase, prosperity. Come up with one word. Just one word. Or two, it's okay. And if you got to get three, I'm not going to be too bothered about that either. But now, what I want you to do is focus your prayer on that. I want you to take the time to speak in tongues with that one word floating all over your brain. I want you to take the time to actually request a job, prosperity, happiness, and I want you to get in the habit of praying on a continual basis. That's three forms of prayer. Just keep bringing it up. Hey God, need that job, thank you. Hey God, love that prosperity, thank you. Hey God, happiness would be great today, thank you. In your job situation, in your work situation, in your living situation, whatever it is, wherever it is, become riddled with prayer. Riddle God with your prayers. Take that one thing and hyper-focus on it. Make this principle of praying through perseverance living and real. Pump some life into it. Give it some feeling. Give it some substance. Make it come alive. Talk to it. Breathe some life into it. And understand that your deliverance is only moments away. Let's look in Acts chapter 6. The English words are pretty nice. They do convey different meanings, I guess, maybe feelings, to this concept of just getting through something. Like in verse 4, it says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Well, now, when you think continually, you don't think perseverance. But that's that word. So you're thinking continually, okay, give. I'm going to give continually. That's got to mean something. I guess I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pray a lot, and then I'm going to minister a lot, okay? But it doesn't separate the accurate methodology of persevering and prayer being coupled to it. It doesn't communicate this idea of getting through something and being hyper-focused on prayer. And so that's why I'm trying to make this a little more livid to you. By giving your request one word so you can hyper-focus on it, God knows what you mean. But He wants you to pray. And so if you rely on that fact that He knows what you need, then when you pray, all you got to do is remind Him with a simple word. That's okay. You can get flowery if you want. That's your business. I'm just trying to make it easy on you. It works. So if you want to pray for a job, pray for a job. If you want to pray for more money, pray for prosperity. You know, and keep it simple, but hyper-focus on it. So when you look at that verse 4, but we will get through this situation with prayer. That's what it's talking about. And we'll get through this situation with the ministering of the word. So those are two really vital aspects of getting through situations, prayer and keeping the word first. Wow. I think that prayer and perseverance are again mated in union as two of the most dynamic tools when using God's word or when moving God's word in this world. They're just dynamically connected. Acts chapter 10. I could probably talk for 15 minutes about this one guy I'm going to read about. It just amazes me. Heart of service. I like to fine-tune subjects down to one or two words because then it conveys something for you to grab onto. So grab onto heart of service as we read verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. Waited on continually. There you have perseverance. Wow. Can you imagine what that soldier was like? He waited on Cornelius continually. That means he didn't leave his side. I guess he did when the angel showed up. Maybe he was supposed to. But normally he was there all the time. That's perseverance. All the time. There all the time. Doing it all the time. Heart of service. So, thinking about heart of service, doesn't this more or less imply that if you're going to persevere with prayer, it's a matter of the heart? It really is. This has got to be something that you breathe life into. This has got to be something that becomes dynamic and real for you. Hey, I'll tell you this. The people that become successful in life are the people who are committed to their cause. The people who falter and even fail in their endeavors are those who lack commitment. If you really want to see your life sing with that super Christian conqueror lifestyle, you must be committed to it. Okay. If you really want to be able to persevere God's way, then you must be committed to prayer. And so as you identify these things in your life, and they're pretty easy to identify because you live with them all day long, give them one or two word names and commit yourself to praying until that stuff is resolved. It's all about commitment. That soldier was committed to Cornelius. I would not be with somebody all day and all night if I wasn't committed. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't teach you week after week, year after year, if I wasn't committed. I wouldn't see God's deliverance in my life if I wasn't committed to the principles in the Word. It's all about commitment. So you can easily say that your level of commitment determines your level of relief from those trials of patience, those tough situations in life. How committed are you to prayer? How committed are you to God's way? Oh, I know it's simple. Jerry, you're doing that again. It seems too simplistic. Come on, make it harder. Toughen it up a little bit, okay? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to beg you to look deep within your heart, because it is a matter of the heart. And analyze your level of commitment. Where is it? How much is it? It's not other people's commitment. It's yours that matters. Don't worry about other people. You're not going to be able to control them anyway. At work, at play, at fellowship, you're not going to be able to. But you can control yours, and you should be controlling yours. That's where you're going to feel so great. I'm committed. And I'm going to push through. And I'm going to be better tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to be more committed, but not as committed as I will be the next day. That's how you think. Breathe some life into this thing. Turn yourself on. Make it come alive. And you'll see the greatness of this whole concept. Live. It'll grow legs, feet, arms, legs, hands, ears, a heart to start beating. It'll take form. And then you'll look at yourself one day and go, that's me. I'm committed. Even better yet, you'll say, I'm delivered. Romans chapter 12. I hope I get to meet that soldier. I just love people like that. It's like that guy I ministered to and becoming very, very good friends with. I just love people like that. There's no way I couldn't. There's just no way. Because it's a matter of the heart. If you want to be successful in life, you know probably the most important thing that you could ever be. Do you know what that is? Truthful. Be truthful. Don't live in lies. Don't hide. Be truthful about how you feel. Be truthful about what's going on. Be truthful about seeking God's deliverance. Say it like it is. Let it come out. Do something about it. Hey, if you're going through things, you need to be truthful about the things you're going through. Identify them. And when you identify them, guess what? Give them one word, pray for it, and you'll see yourself finished with it. Now, wouldn't you rather be finished with something than to think I'm going to have to keep going through this? Who wants to keep going through the things that you put down on a list like that? Nobody. So let's set a goal to bring these things to a close. Whatever it is. I can't name yours for you. I'm going through some very interesting situations in my own life. I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm taking acting school. And I've been doing it for months. And when I have to get up on stage and do things like improv and monologues and acting and product advertisements and whatever, and they have to be done a certain way, otherwise I won't be successful, period. You have no idea how many times that goes through my mind of, can I even do this? Okay, I need somebody up on the stage right now. Who's going to be first? And, you know, it's easy to say, okay, I'll go be first. But it's hard to say, I'm going to be able to do whatever he asked me to do really well. That's the mountain I've got to climb every 5 minutes. And so I believe in living this kind of teaching. When I say commitment is what determines your deliverance, your success, how you feel, how you live, how you look, everything about your life, it's all going to come back to commitment. It's going to come back to truthfulness and honesty. I'll tell you what, when you acting is just, it's an amazing profession. It's amazing. because you've got to be able to convey things so realistically that other people believe them. And if you're busy lying to yourself all the time, you'll never be able to do it, because you can't convey truth when you're lying. Right? How could you? And so they're just so intricately intertwined, and I don't spend a minute unamazed. I'm constantly amazed at these things. And so when I say commitment is vital, I mean it, and I live it, and I feel it, and I understand it. I would never ask you to do something like this if you didn't, number one, relate to this, and number two, if it didn't work. I would never do that. That would be nuts. These things are real. These things work. And I know what you want in your life. I know how great you want to be. I know how you want your life to change. I know that you want more prosperity, and you want better feelings, and you want better everything. And I know how you can get it. You've got to employ the right methodology. What does God's Word say? How do you do it from God's Word? And to me, in a nutshell, perseverance is what it's all about. Because aren't you always getting through something? Every day? Aren't you always dealing with things? Isn't your soul always involved in that? Your feelings are always being stirred, provoked, coaxed, strained, strong, like a guitar. They're always in there. And so if you can learn how to get through whatever it is you're going through the easiest way possible, won't that change your life forever? And it will. And that's why prayer is so important. Look in, did we read Romans 12? Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Would you believe that continuing instant is persevere? Sure doesn't look like it, does it? But it is. I can't even call that a coupling. That's almost the same word. Perseverance in prayer. You can't even separate that. Prayer and perseverance are unified. Prayer and perseverance are one. I call on you to pray in every situation. Ephesians 6, verse 18. I know you have this memorized. How many types of prayer do you see in that verse? Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Oh, they use the right word this time. And supplication for all saints. Perseverance is completely surrounded by the different types of prayer. That's amazing. You want to talk about unification? You want to talk about one? Oh my goodness. Verse 18 literally surrounds the ideal of perseverance with different types of prayer. Speaking in tongues, earnest prayer, and petition prayer. Those are the types. And there is an Ardios that talks about the types of prayer some years ago now. Colossians chapter 4. And if you're wondering, this teaching was a word study type teaching. What I did is I picked the Greek word. I didn't even tell you what the Greek word was. I didn't want to bore you with it. But it's a word study. And so look at what you can learn from these simple word studies. It's wonderful. One simple word study can change your life. Do you know that one simple word study changed my life? I wanted to know if it was God's will that we be prosperous. When I was first in the College of Theology that I went to, I was very interested in that because I didn't know if I was supposed to be prosperous or not. And I had all kinds of things running through my head. So I said, okay, I'll do a word study on prosperity. And I studied that through the entire Bible. And guess what? It changed my life. It rocked my universe. And it changed me forever. Because I learned that it was God's will that every man, woman, and child under His fathership is prosperous. Everyone. There was never, ever any verse that ever indicated anything to the contrary. That one word study changed me forever. And that's how I knew that I was going to be doing a research project on that. I wrote a book on that eventually, and I never stopped talking about it. It lives in my soul. This was a word study too. A simple word study can change your life forever if you apply it. So in Colossians 4 verse 2, continue in prayer, and there's our word. Again, you can't separate continue and prayer. You just can't separate them, even though it's two Greek words. They're one. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. How about continue in prayer and thanksgiving? You can't separate them either. We are told to persevere. Get through your situation. In your schooling situation, if you're waiting for healing, no matter what you're going through, in your financial situations, in your other type of situations, whatever you put down on your list, no matter what it was, we're told to persevere in prayer and to watch or be vigilant with thanksgiving. You'll be tempted to not be thankful. In fact, you'll be tempted to be bitter. You'll be tempted to be mad. You'll be tempted to be angry, depressed, different negatives. But the Bible says, be vigilant. Don't let those things take over. Let thanksgiving take over. Let prayer take over. And this goes back to, this is a matter of the heart, and how committed are you? You should instantly resort to prayer with thanksgiving in any situation. Thanksgiving and prayer complete perseverance. If you are getting through any situation without thanksgiving and prayer, you are not living a complete situation. Thanksgiving and prayer literally complete perseverance. So no matter your situation, be it positive or negative, God's expectation regarding how to deal with it contains the ideal of perseverance with prayer and thanksgiving. In your situation, you will find yourself waiting on something, possibly some sort of change, some sort of result from your activities, for sure. We learn that believers are to spend this waiting time with other believers in prayer, in God's Word, and also eating together. Knowing that good times are always ahead, add the emotion of gladness of heart with a focus to stay like that into the mix. An enduring quality of perseverance was portrayed by that devout soldier of Cornelius. This generous man stood by his side through thick and thin. No matter your situation, stick with it with prayer and thanksgiving, until you are delivered. Be given to much prayer. Pray in any situation, especially those that seem too powerful to overcome. Be that super Christian conqueror who battles until victory, literally pulling down vast strongholds of power, watching them crumble before your very eyes. When you are waiting for your resolve, be it deliverance or the moving of some vast mountain, speak in tongues, earnestly pray, giving your individual request to God. While you are doing this, be ever so thankful. Expect to emerge as a victor from the arenas of life, time and time again, with a smile on your face, gladness in your heart, and thankfulness on every word that you speak. Persevere.